Book of James. Book of James.
He's worthy.
Amen.
Hey, that's good.
Let me see. Tuesday night at Summit, we heard Pastor Clark. And then after that, we heard Dr. David Gibbs preach. Wednesday morning, we heard Dr. Gibbs again. Wednesday night, Brother Fisher, and then Brother Tony Shirley. Thursday night, right? I'm trying to think of the first one. Burton Gates. The dog. Brother Gates. He was on it. And then Brother Baldwin Thursday night. Thursday morning was Brother Williams. Brother Williams. Anybody know Tom Williams? Dr. Tom Williams? Heard of him. I think he's West Coast. Because he's old. He's like 83, 84. Whoo! Man preached on prayer. He's lived a life of prayer. And so made his preaching more powerful. He touched on a lot of things. And man, if you get a chance to listen to that message, he was great. Excellent. James chapter 2. Say, why'd you say that? Just to remind you who I am and what you just heard. So you go in with low expectations, is what I'm saying. Still the God of the Bible, and we'll do our best to see what's going on here. Yeah, I'm going to shoot you. The Summit mascot. There's this guy that just shouts weird things every night. And The same thing, it just sounds weird. And so someone designated him as the Summit mascot, which now we got to bring him out every game. You know what I mean? I mean, if you make him the mascot, but anyways, he did not do that to Brother Baldwin at the end, though. Do you know, anybody, who's there? Yeah. Anybody see that? I think Brother Baldwin would have come undone on him. So James chapter 2, we'll read 5 or 6 verses here. We're actually going to then review a little bit from our young adult Sunday school class and then get into some new material. So I do apologize to our young adults. Some crossover material here. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a man or if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for the songs. Thank you that you've given us a voice to lift up your name. God, thank you for the testimonies and thank you for the little people singing tonight and youth choir. God, thank you that you precede every event in our life, that you're already there. It's good to know that. God, I pray tonight as we look at maybe this delicate passage of Scripture that we would be open to your leading, and God, you would speak to us through it, and that we'd be encouraged and charged up for you tonight. Lord, I do love you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we are in James chapter 2. What some would consider a difficult passage to make some sense of, I would like to go back to verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Those are bold statements to say. He says, I'll show you what I believe by what I do. Good. Should that not be how we live? Should it not be... should we not know what it is that we believe by what we do? Our words ought to match our actions, correct? So how do we get there? Well, I feel like we need to take a step back. I feel like people struggle with this passage. Not because they struggle with this passage, but because they struggle with the step before. So what's the step before? Well, this is talking to some believers. And unless you've been saved, and unless we are very conscious of what our salvation means, well, you might struggle with this passage. If you have failed to recognize how important your salvation is to you, it's going to be tough working it out. It's going to be tough acting and moving on that of something that just doesn't mean that much to you anymore. So just for a moment, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to where the Lord found us. Let's go back to where it all started, in a land far away from here, right? Time long ago. For Brother Sutliff, it was in black and white back then. No. Ancient. But when the Lord found us, we were different. We looked different. Our hearts were different. Our life was different. Our motives were different. What were we? We were lost. Anybody work with anybody that's lost? Anybody gets frustrated working with someone that's lost? Told you this before, but I have a dog, and every time a car pulls into the driveway, he barks. Why does he do that? Because he's a dog. As many times as I tell him not to do that, but we do kind of like it. I mean, it is a little security. Every time I tell him not to eat the trash, every time I tell him not to stop chasing after the cat, leave the chickens in the neighborhood alone, every time I tell him that, he doesn't do it. Why? Because that's what he is. He's a dog. And the natural man or the lost man does things in his life. Why? Because he's lost. And sometimes we get frustrated with the lost for acting like the lost, but hey, remember you? You were once lost. You were once contrary to the things of God. Romans chapter 5, quickly. Romans chapter 5. We call this the natural man. This is what you came out as, birth. This is who you were. Without Christ, it says. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Two things I get from that passage. Tell me about the lost man. He's without strength and ungodly. Fact. That is the nature of the natural lost man. Without strength and ungodly. In verse 10, it tells us that the lost person is an enemy of God. They have very low esteem for God Himself. In John chapter 5 and verse 42, if you look there quickly, John 5:42, we're just defining what it is to be lost. John 5:42 says this, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. A lost person cares nothing about God. Nothing. Who does a lost person care about? Themselves. That's who they act on. And if they can get away with it, they'll get away with it. Why? Because they have not the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Nor can we expect them to do that. How can we expect a lost person to act like a saved person? You can't. We don't expect them to not curse. We don't expect them to not take the Lord's name in vain. We don't expect them to walk in faith. They can't. Because they're without strength. They're ungodly. They're an enemy of God. They care nothing about His love. Nor do they fear Him. Because they're lost. They care more about what their equals think and more about offending their peers than they do God. Fact. That is the natural man. Their wills are contrary. God's will goes this way. The natural man, the lost man's will goes that way. The natural man is on a fast-paced course towards hellfire. And if somebody doesn't intercede quickly and turn them around, they will end up there. That is the natural path of the lost man. That's where you were. That's exactly where you were. And you know what? You don't know how close you were.
Yeah, that's right.
You might have been one step away. You don't know. The natural man. A lost man. I use the word man as in mankind, humans, people. Contrary to God. Without strength, ungodly, an enemy. Had no esteem for God. No love, no fear. Consumed with themselves and their equals. They were in contrary. Their will was contrary to God's will. Opposite to the commands of God. Their affections are opposite. The loves of a natural man and the loves of God are opposite. They're just different. And you can't expect them to be the same. It's earthly versus heavenly. Lost man will say, oh, they must be a fool. Dumb as a box of rocks. No, not always. A lost man can be naturally intelligent, wealthy, well-spoken. I told this to our young adults this morning. Here's a character trait that sometimes lost people have. Listen, intriguing. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, you get a professor who's gone through and has seen some things and speaks with authority and contrary to the scriptures, but is intelligent, wealthy, well-spoken, and grabs a hold of the hearts of our young people, but cannot discern the scriptures. Without the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says that those things are hidden. That's who you were. Lost. How many of you went to secular college? Anybody? Sure.
No.
Anybody have someone like that? Intelligent, well-spoken, interesting, pulling at you. Pulling at you, pulling you away from the things of God. Would make a mockery of the things of God. Say, that was so wrong. That's who they are. They're lost. That's why we're very hesitant to put our young people in a learning environment like that. That's why we spent $1.5 million to build a school. That's why we invest in Christian education. Because we don't want this intelligent, wealthy, well-spoken, intriguing, lost person who cannot discern the scriptures to pull at the hearts of our young people. That's why we're invested in Christian education. Because that's what lost people do. That's why Trapper barks when someone pulls in. That's who he is. And you can't change him. But we can change the lost man. And one day, a long time ago, someone maybe knocked at your door, or maybe a gospel tract came across your desk, or someone had a conversation and said, if you were to die today. I don't remember the exact words of when the man led me to the Lord. But I know he shared the gospel with me. Maybe someone had a gospel track, a chick track, and maybe they were just as scared as you were, and they were your first person, and you didn't know it. Their hands were trembling a little bit, and they did the best they could to just read the track to you. And they had the courage to ask you this question: are you born again? What does that mean? Let me show you John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Let's look there quickly. Nicodemus, being a wealthy, intelligent, well-spoken individual, comes to Jesus. Jesus says to him in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, being trained and taught and educated, had the ability to hear a statement, question it, and respond with comprehension. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" Logical response to the statement Christ just made to a lost person, because they cannot discern spiritual things. You need to be born again. What does that mean? How could I be born again when do I go back into my mother's womb? Jesus answered, verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Maybe someone somewhere, maybe at your kitchen table, maybe at the workplace, maybe in a Sunday school classroom, showed you John chapter 3 and started the transition, the transaction, if you will, from the old man to the new man, from the natural man to the spiritual man. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So why are you telling us these things? Because the next step is necessary that we understand the first step. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Converted to Christianity. Converted. Back in school times, a couple months ago, getting ready for it. How many of you are excited? Anybody working on some math paces? Andrew, are you doing math work over the summer? No. All right. Very good. So there we are, and we do conversion factors. Conversion factors, what do? We take the given and put it over. Joe? Take the given and put it over. You know. He doesn't want to say it in the group. Take the given and put it over 1. Multiply it by our factor. Cross where units cancel, and so on and so forth. And we convert things. Say, "I don't understand what you're talking about." Well, you do it all the time. You just don't know it, right? You give $2 bills and say, "I want quarters." How many quarters are you going to get? 8. You just converted. Congratulations. Excellent. You're doing math. When am I ever going to use this? Every single day. Well, one day I got converted to Christ. I got converted to a Christian. So how did that happen? An old man, the natural man. Tell me about the natural man. He was without strength. He was ungodly. He's an enemy of God. Cared nothing about God. Loved him not. Feared him not. Thought more about himself. His will was contrary. His affections were opposite. He was naturally in himself an enemy of God. And such were you. That's where he found me. But for by grace are ye saved, through faith. One day, somewhere along your path, we all got saved the same way. Our stories leading up to it are maybe different, guaranteed. But it was the blood of Christ, you repenting of your sins, asking Jesus Christ wholeheartedly to save you from your sins. That's the way. That's the only way. And then believing those words by faith, even though I've never seen him on the cross, even though I was not there those 2,000 years ago, I can vaguely in my head hear the nails piercing his hands just because I've heard the noise before. I don't know what his face looked like. I don't know how tall he was. I don't know how strong he was. I don't know how dark the sky was that day. I don't know the weather. Why? Because I was not there. But I have faith, knowing that what he did on that cross that day was good enough to take away my sins. Say, explain it all to me. I need the logistics. I need the breakdown. Faith. Believing what God said about it. And here we are, converted. A child of God. Redeemed. Purchased. For his own use. And now I have strength. God has exchanged my sin for his righteousness. And I am no longer ungodly. I'm no longer an enemy. I'm his son. I no longer have low esteem for God. I have exalted him higher than anything. I have a love for God. Why? Because I acknowledged his love for me. And oh my, do we fear him. I fear him because I know him. I read the scriptures and he reveals himself to me and speaks to me to something that was so dark and abstract and untangible. Now is who I am. I'm a child of God, a Christian. And now we come back to James chapter 2. Saved by the grace of God through faith. And we come to James chapter 2. And we're accosted by the thought or upset at the thought of anyone making us do anything against our will. Who are you to tell me that I need to walk by faith? And sometimes we forget where it is that the Lord found us. So when we read James 2:18, where it says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." My question is, do our days go by where, yes, we're in the faith, but our works are no evidence of that? It's not my work that's going to save me. But it's in a response to my faith. Is my faith without works? Is that okay? I think it was Pastor Clark that mentioned Malachi chapter 3. If you can turn there quickly. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Malachi 3:10 says this, "Bring me all the tithes into the storehouse that they may be meat for in mine house." And look at this. "And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts." God is wanting us to prove him there in that passage of finances. But how about in faith? God is inviting us, prove me to who I say I am. Put your faith and me, and then go do it. He wants us to act. He wants faith and action. Not just words, but actions. Look at just one page previous, James 1, 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." Actions. "Deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face in natural glass." His natural face in the glass, sorry. "For he beholdeth himself and he goeth his way and straightway forgetteth." See that? "Forgetteth what manner of man he was." So why is it so hard to get Christians to act like Christians? Because they forgetteth what manner of man he was. They forgot all that Christ has done for them. And somewhere along the path they've been deceived, as it says, and lied to again into thinking that their will is most important, not God's. Verse 25, I'm sorry. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. He, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you, it's going to go show us how. Like, what does that look like? What does it look like to be a doer? If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Reach those that can't reach themselves and keep yourself clean. Faith in action. Tozer said this, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. Can I say that again? God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do ourselves. What a pity that we only plan the things we can do by ourselves. I have to-do lists. I have a book of them. So why do you have a book of them? Well, I complete the one and then I rewrite it and then I keep adding to it. I have a to-do list set up for tomorrow and the next week. And is there anything on there that only... Is there anything on the to-do list that only God could do? Is there anything on your to-do list? Is there anything in your life that's going on that only God can do? Or is everything under your control? Because if our actions are without faith, and our faith is without works, are we really doing anything? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. What's going on in your life right now that if God's not involved, it's not going to work? Is there anything? Is there one thing? Is there five things? Is there 10 things? Is there anything? God is calling to us, prove me now in your actions. We're so calculated. We're so risk preventative. We always have not just plan B, but plan B, C, and D. That if plan A doesn't go well, I have something to fall back on. And there's some wisdom in that. I understand that. But where is our faith? Well, I'm here at church. It took no faith to come to church. So you haven't seen my wife drive. All right, I understand. But what is in your life that if God doesn't do something miraculous, have you really put yourself out there? Are you standing outside of the boat on the water? That if God doesn't keep you up, you're going down. So I don't want to live in that place. Faith without works is dead. What are you praying for that if God doesn't intervene? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. How do I draw near to God? If I were to get in my truck, I'm not sure how far that would make us anyways, but if I were to get into a vehicle and we would go somewhere, how do I draw near to God? Could it be through prayer? Is that the avenue by which we draw closer? Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. You understand, faith and prayer go hand in hand. Having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Can we stop there at that verse 24 and think about that for a second? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Are we encouraging each other to take steps of faith? Are we encouraging one another to pray in faith? Am I helping you draw closer to God? Are you helping your friend or your neighbor draw closer to the Lord? Are we provoking one another? Oh yeah, there's provoking. Unto good works. Unto love. So how can we do that? Let's just think for a second. What is it that God is most pleased with? Without faith. Faith. He's most pleased with faith. So am I encouraging somebody else? Am I encouraging by my life as I take steps of faith? That will be a residual benefit and blessing to those that are around me. So are we doing that? Or is our faith without works? So what are you suggesting? I'm just reading the scriptures, and I'm hoping the Lord is touching your heart about getting something down on a to-do list that requires faith. We go in and out of our workplace. We have Christian t-shirts, but are we exemplifying anything? Is there anything that's drawing the lost unto Christ? Last verse. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. That's not the intention here. I'm just here to try and challenge you, to encourage you to walk by faith. Pick an area. Prove God. I promise you, He will never let you down. Say, how do you know that? Because He's never let anybody down, ever. Ever. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to ask a real straightforward question. Do you need the Lord? Now, the obvious test answer is yes. But if the Lord asked you, in what area do you need me? What would you say? You get up tomorrow, you're going to work, you're doing your day-to-day routines. I'm just saying, faith without works is dead. There's got to be an area in our lives where we're walking by faith. That if God is not involved in it, that if God isn't, it's going to be a complete bust and it's going to be a mess and we need Him to do it. Say, what is that? Ask Him. We need to ask Him. God, would You show me? That's what this is about. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. How do I do that? Through prayer, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Our problem is we don't need the Lord. I go day to day without needing Him. Because our lives are our lives characterized by faith. There's no program or workbook or anything to go through that. But I don't know. I feel like we're all in the same boat in it. I want to be careful what I suggest. I'm not insinuating that, hey, if we do this, God is going to do this. I can't tell you what God will do. You know I don't like boats. So are you planning a cruise? No. If there was a boat that I would like, it's a sailboat. I think they're neat. To be able to harness the wind. I can't guarantee the wind will blow, but let's set the sail. That maybe if God so chooses to come by and move us, that He'll do that. I feel like we just need to be faithful to the things that He's told us to do and then let Him work. Not to be gimmicky or anything, but if we don't ever change anything, nothing will ever change. Could I suggest a couple things this week? If you're available Saturday at 10 o'clock to come out on visitation. Say, what does that do? That takes you out of your comfort zone and has you knock on a door and tries to give the gospel to somebody. So I don't do that. Well, do something. Carry a gospel tract. Do something. We meet here at 9:30 on Saturday morning to pray before we go. Because we don't want to go out in our own strength. Could you commit each day, maybe, praying for someone? Praying for a visitor. I was talking to a young man today and he said, you know what? I was praying that we'd have some guests today. Amen. Two people showed up. And that encouraged that young man. Why? Because they prayed and asked. Could we pray and ask and say, God, not that we... I think you know me enough. It's not like, hey, we need this number to be successful. But it's an opportunity to give the gospel. Why do we want 100 kids here at VBS? Oh, because we put it all over Facebook that we had 100 kids. More... No. Because 100 kids means 100 kids in here listening to the lessons of the Word of God. And on Friday, we shared the gospel. Amen. Say, what's your message for next Sunday? I'll see if I want... I'll let you know Saturday night at about 10:30. Say, is that how it works? That's how it works for me. I don't know. By then, I'm fully confident, fully persuaded. But up until then, it's very... It's always... Could we invite someone to church? Could we prove the Lord in our faith? Could we pray believing? Is there an area that you know God is touching your life about? Of, hey, I want you to trust me here. God does speak to individuals. If you'd like, we'd go out soul winning this week. If you could you pray? Pray more. Say, we already pray for services. Hey, pray every day that God would bring guests this week. Say, what good does that do? We had 4 today. Depending on who you count, maybe 5 or 6. And one almost got saved. If a congregation all together with the same mind and the same spirit, calling on God to do what God does best and saving lost people, He's got to be pleased with that. Say, are people going to walk the aisle? I don't know. We're just going to set the sail and let God do it. So I don't know if I'm into that. Okay. But where's your faith? Where's your faith? Faith without works, it's just dormant. It's dead. Let's all stand. Let's encourage one another. Call a buddy up and say, hey, I'll meet you at Dunkin' Donuts, or I'll meet you here, or I'll meet you there, or hey, let's pray over the phone, or this is what I read today. Try and encourage someone else. Step out of your little comfort zone this week. Grab a couple tracks on your way out tonight. Bob, are you back there? Are you awake? All right, good. Okay. Do we have those summer tracks back there? Or out there? Okay, I have a box of them if they're not. Grab five or six. Do you know why people don't come to church? Because no one asks them. Do you know why people come to church? Because someone invites them. How many of you are here in church tonight because somewhere along the way, someone invited you? Sure. We went to church to begin with because our neighbor invited us to church. Could we pray for those things? This week. Say, why just this week? Because that's all we can handle sometimes. Let's just do this week. Let's set the sail this week and see what God does. Maybe you miss a meal. Say, whoa, now you're treading on. It's not even the 10th. Could we pray believing, having faith? Again, look at your to-do list. Evaluate your life tonight. And you show the Lord where it is that, and you ask God. You ask God to lead you in faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I know I didn't say this all right tonight. I know I fumbled and made a mess of that. But Lord, I pray in the midst of that, Lord, somewhere in there, the point that you wanted to be brought across was brought across. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to encourage one another unto love and to good works. Help us to remember where it is that you found us. That then showing others wouldn't be such a task, but more welcomed. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be completely consumed with your will and your ways. Lord, could you lead us in faith as individuals and then as a church? Lord, we want to please you, and we know that without faith it's impossible. So, Lord, will you please show us? Lord, protect us as we travel home now. And Lord, help us to consider these things throughout our week. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.